Hello and welcome. Today I'm going to be talking about brain injury and COVID-19. Is there a correlation? And if so, let's talk about it. So today's presentation is brought to you by the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. Okay. All right. And so before I go into today's presentation, let me first introduce myself. My name is Nadja Britton. I am one of the support service case managers for the Brain Injury Waiver, and I am the health educator for the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. For those who do not know, the Brain Injury Association of Maryland is a nonprofit organization that was founded by loved ones who have sustained or who have suffered a brain injury. Our mission here at the Brain Injury Association of Maryland is to be the voice of those who are affected by brain injury through advocacy, education, and research. And we strive to bring those to bring health, hope, and healing to thousands of Marylanders living with brain injuries and the professionals. So for today's presentation, have some objectives that I've and one, we're going to go over brain injury and is we're going to talk about some of the side effects of brain injury. Then we'll go into COVID-19 and exactly what that is, some side effects, and then go into the neurological side effects. I don't say that word often enough. I don't know why. And we'll go into living through a pandemic with a brain injury, maybe even talking about how things are now, and some resources. So there are different types of brain injury. Yes. So on the screen, we have two definitions of brain injury. We have acquired brain injury and we have traumatic brain injury. Before I go into those definitions that are on the screen, I'm going to say that an acquired brain injury is a brain injury that you acquire after birth. And so that gets breaking down into two different definitions or categories. We have non-traumatic brain injury, which is often referred to as an acquired brain injury, which is the definition that's on the screen now, and traumatic brain injury, the other definition that's on the screen. So the non-traumatic brain injury or acquired brain injury is defined as an insult to the brain that occurs after birth, caused by internal factors. So examples of those would be strokes, aneurysm, let's try to use those words together, stroke, aneurysm, lack of oxygen to the brain. So hypoxic or anoxic brain injury. We have tumors. I don't know why traumatic brain injury, maybe that might be a typo. I think they were thinking of the broad example when putting that example there. So that's why it could be a little tricky. So we have the broad definition of acquired brain injury, and then we have non-traumatic slash acquired brain injury. And then we have traumatic brain injury. So we have the broad definition of acquired brain injury, then we have non-traumatic acquired brain, acquired non-traumatic brain injury and traumatic brain injury. And then the definition for traumatic brain injury. So the definition of a traumatic brain injury is defined as an insult to the brain caused by external physical forces. So that's some examples or some causes of a traumatic brain injury are falls, car accidents, sports injury, assaults. So those are the different types of brain injury. And we have brain injuries are a big deal. Brain injury, your brain is a very vital organ. But I might be a little biased, but I think, the brain is the most important organ in the the body. You know, some people might say another organ, but it's okay. I think we actually like go home. But the brain helps with our problem solving, judgment, managing our behaviors, emotions. It helps with our sensory input, like our taste, smell, and vision, touch, all of these things. If you want to really go into the different lobes and which lobes associated with different functions that we of our bodies, different functions of our body, there you go. You can go into our other presentation called the Brain Injury 101, where we break down the different lobes. So there's four lobes, where we break down the four lobes, talk about the different functions. So we will, hopefully we can see it somewhere soon. I don't know if it would be on this presentation. We can click out and then return back. Or just like I said, go to our website and search our brain injury one. But what would be a repeat from that presentation, we're going to talk about some of the side effects of a brain injury. And hopefully you can we'll see some similarities further down in our presentation today. So some of the physical side effects of a brain injury, we have headaches, dizziness, we have trouble sleeping, change and loss of hearing. Our speech could be slowed or slurred. There could be spasticity. So again, in our Brain Injury 101, we talk about what spasticity is. That presentation something. If not, it will be in our which one? The prevalence of brain injury and those involved in the justice system. I talk about it in that presentation. Some other physical side effects are seizures, motor skill, balance, coordination, fatigue, weakness, change in your taste and smell, and there could be changes in your bowels and bladders. So some cognitive side effects are your memory, attention, processing, problem solving. These are a lot of things that are associated with your executive functioning skills. Again, that's something that we talk about in a lot of our presentations. So with executive functioning skills, it kind of helps you manage, you know, with your judgment and your problem solving, your attention, you know, helping you move throughout your environment successfully and safely. I kind of think of it as like the parent, because it's found in your frontal lobe. So I feel like the frontal lobe is like a parent lobe, and that's where your executive functioning skills is highly associated with. So I just think of it like being a parent, because it's going to tell you like all these things, help you. You know, everything that you would look to your parents for, your executive functioning skills helps you within yourself. Confabulation. Another cognitive side effect. Well, let me first go back to confabulation. I will say, if you go to the prevalence of brain injury and those involved in the justice system, our Brain Injury 101 presentation, we talk about confabulation and what exactly that means and how does that present in someone with a brain injury. Some other cognitive side effects could be lack of awareness, aphasia, expressive or receptive. And that is, disorders, a neurological disorder that affects the way
you speak or receive information orally or written. And so again, brain injury 101, hopefully, I really do plan to do a whole presentation on dementia. That would be awesome. So persistent or preservation, again, we talked about in our other presentation, but you know, it's just really, it's like how I keep saying, you see, how we did in our other presentation, it's like we're coming back to one topic. Judgment, impulse control, so these are just examples of some cognitive changes after a brain injury. Some emotional and behavioral side effects of brain injury. There's a lot on the screen. I don't see myself reading every single one, but I will point out some ones that I think that are really important. We have emotions or mood swings, and maybe even emotional liability, where it's like a more severe mood swing. We have lack of motivation, irritability, aggression, again, a lack of awareness. So I think those are some ones to kind of keep in mind. Or even acting more dependent on others. Again, I think that's also something to keep in mind, and stay aware. Some other ones is grief around the injury, questioning your identity, which can then increase the chances of concurrent diagnoses like depression or PTSD or anxiety disorder. Again, having difficulty controlling your emotions, having because of that breaking mechanism that. Self-control, self-awareness, which is associated with your executive functioning skills, again, which we talked about in Brain Injury 101, like if that executive functioning skills is diminished or injured, then your self-control, your self-awareness, then that breaking mechanism, that self-control, then it would lead to difficulty controlling your emotions. Then that could also lead into having difficulty in relationships with your loved ones or even forming new relationships. Just kind of trying to connect some of the dots. All right. So now we're going to talk about COVID-19 or coronavirus 2019. I'm going to put this disclaimer. I would have said it in the intro, but I am not a medical doctor. I'm a researcher. I am just here collecting information that is out in the universe, putting it in a more consumable presentation for you. The coronavirus 19 is a severe acute respiratory. So the names that you see under COVID-19, these are the different names that it goes by or is very similar to. So COVID-19, coronavirus 2019, severe acute respiratory symptom or SARS, or Middle East respiratory syndrome. So that's what COVID-19 is. And also another disclaimer before I go more into this presentation. This presentation was developed, presented, mostly developed during the pandemic. And with it being presented in 2023, 3 years after the height or peak of the pandemic, there could be new information being presented or released, or the, yeah, new findings to be presented or released. So please keep in mind while you watch this presentation. You might be thinking, 3 years, that should be good. But I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So what we know. So COVID-19 is kind of similar to pneumonia, where it creates these excess fluid in your lungs, filling the microscopic air sacs in your lungs. And this is where, around these air sacs, and this is where oxygen is able to actually get diffused into our blood and getting that oxygen to our body parts, to the brain. And as the fluid or the lungs fill with fluid, it becomes very taut and stiff, and it can become hard for the individual to expand and actually breathe and actually complete that process of getting that into our system. And when the oxygen level falls to a certain level that requires the respiratory or assistance to breathe, yes, more of the severe cases of COVID-19. So it could lead in more severe cases, oxygen levels could fall where it will require an individual to get assistance from a respiratory to breathe. And with that extended period of time, the oxygen level being so low, there could be vital organs such as your brain being deprived of oxygen. So some common signs and symptoms of COVID. I think this has been very widespread, but just in case you don't know, some of the signs and symptoms of COVID-19, fever chills, cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, which would be very, one of the main sign tells that it could be the COVID-19 versus your common cold, fatigue, muscle or body aches, headaches, and again, another telltale that this would be different from the common cold would be the loss of taste and smell. We could connect in some dots. Sore throat, congestion, runny nose, nausea, vomit, diarrhea. But yes, these are some of the signs and symptoms of COVID-19. So side effects of COVID-19. So as I mentioned earlier, there are studies that are actively being conducted, or I guess I didn't say exactly, but you know, with new findings coming out, that means that there are more studies that are actively being conducted to find new information that is being presented. Every day. The Centers of Disease Control, or CDC, is currently investigating short-term and long-term effects of COVID-19. And some of the side effects that we know are short-term side effects of COVID-19 are the muscle pain, headaches, the palpitation, or the fast beating, pounding heart. And some of the more complicated short-term side effects are the cardiovascular, respiratory, and the nervous system. Those are some of the symptoms or short-term complications of COVID-19 that we have to do. And long-term side effects, those are currently being investigated. Long-term side effects or long-term effects that we will know, those studies don't take until 10 plus years after. So like I said, we're only 3 years out. We got sometimes to, we got a little bit of ways to go to find out some of the long-term side effects. But let's go into more of those those neural side effects. So, as me not being a medical doctor or researcher, I have a few slides that are referenced from Dr. Michael J. Hall and about COVID-19 and the his neurological functioning development. So hopefully you can learn both something about COVID-19 and brain injury and the correlation. So before I really get into that correlation, let's talk about the nervous system and its components. So the nervous system is made up of two components. We have the central and the peripheral nervous system. So the central nervous system consists of the brain and your spinal cord, while your peripheral nervous system includes all the nerves branching out from the brain and the spinal cord, extending into the other parts of your body, including your muscles and organs. So before I go on into more into this presentation, I want to share how COVID-19 could possibly affect the nervous system. That is because COVID-19 can cross over your blood-brain barrier, BBB. And so what is the blood-brain barrier or your BBB? I actually have a short video to help explain it a little bit better than I could. So let's get into this video.
To keep out foreign invaders, the brain relies on a membrane that lines the brain's blood vessels, known as the blood-brain barrier. All blood vessels are lined with endothelial cells. There are gaps to let molecules out of the blood vessel and into other tissues. But the endothelial cells that line the brain's blood vessels are really close together. That means only certain molecules can slip through and get out into the brain tissue. Some molecules, like water and oxygen, can cross the blood vessel's wall and get into the brain. So can some fat-soluble substances like caffeine and alcohol. Other molecules the brain needs, like glucose, can hitch a ride into the brain tissue with the help of certain proteins. But by and large, the blood-brain barrier doesn't let most drugs through, which presents a big problem in medicine. That's made it tricky to find treatments that work well for neurological conditions like Alzheimer's, stroke, and brain cancer.
Okay, hopefully that video, you know, gave you a little bit more insight exactly what the blood-brain barrier is and how, what it is, why we have it, and that the COVID-19 virus actually has the ability to cross that barrier. So because we know that, we're gonna go on to some of the acute and we'll just go into some of these side effects of COVID-19 now that we know that this information. Okay, so these next two slides, we have some side effects that of both of these two nervous systems. We have the central nervous system, and then we have a peripheral nervous system, as I mentioned before. There's some nice, big, long medical terminology on the screen, so I will not be going through every single one of these. However, again, as I mentioned, Dr. Hall does, and hopefully we can maybe put a link to his presentation that can be found on YouTube in the description or of this video, where he, I believe he does go through all of them. But I just want to kind of, again, just pick some ones that I feel like would be very important and kind of help help you see the correlation between COVID-19 and brain injury. So some of the central nervous system's side effects that I have mentioned earlier in the presentation that are on the screen are headaches, anoxic brain injury or anoxic, so that complete loss of oxygen. I don't think I really went into it, which is the difference between anoxic and hypoxic brain injury. So anoxic means all, none, zero, silt. No oxygen is getting to your brain, where hypoxic is where there's a limited, there's just a little bit of oxygen getting to the brain. So we have anoxic, we also have seizures, we have stroke on here. So if you want to, we have, if you want to learn a little bit more about strokes, I do talk about it a little bit in brain injury and substance use, I want to say, in our substance use presentation. So you can go on our website to look at that one as well. Okay, and so some of these side effects in the peripheral nervous system. Again, some big terminology. Again, if you go to Dr. Hall's presentation on YouTube, he will go through these. But again, I just want to point out some side effects that have been mentioned previously in today's presentation that I think you should will help with the correlation. Again, we have headaches, anoxic brain injury, stroke, loss. This one, I really want to make sure you hear me. Loss of taste and smell. I feel like I've said that at least 3 times during today's presentation. Loss of taste and smell as a peripheral nervous system side effect of the neurological side effects of COVID-19. That was the side effects of a brain injury. So, and these neurological side effects have been seen in individuals with respiratory complications of COVID-19. However, even though I have gone through these neurological side effects of COVID-19 and tried to state some of the correlation between COVID-19 and brain injury, I am not in any way saying that because you had COVID-19, you've had a brain injury. Again, I am not a medical doctor. I am not a medical researcher. I am not claiming that in this presentation at all. I am just trying to bring you the information of brain injury, the information of COVID-19, and talked about the correlation between the two. If you suspect that you might have a brain injury, please see your medical doctor. Do not look at this presentation and say and diagnose yourself. Please do not. Okay, as like I mentioned earlier, that this presentation was developed in the peak of the pandemic. And so things have changed a little bit, has returned back to quote unquote normal now that we're 3 years out. But living through the pandemic is a stressful, or was it stressful? I still feel like it's still stressful 3 years later, just because of the things that were happening throughout the pandemic. And now that we're trying to return back to our quote unquote normal life, it can still be a bit stressful. this is just with anyone, not anyone with a brain injury, just this general, across the board, fear and worrying about your health, your loved ones, in that financial situation of your job, loss of support. This could lead to the change in your sleep and eating patterns, concentration. It could, because of that increased stress, can increase your inflammation, which can increase your chronic health, increase or are worsening your chronic health or worsen your mental health conditions, which can also could lead to some people increasing their, we'll say, unhealthy coping mechanisms, such as the use of tobacco, alcohol, and other substances. So, like I said, that was just across the board. So that's people with brain injury and people without brain injury, people with other disabilities, so, and people with, you know, no disabilities. So that's just the stress of living through the pandemic. I feel like some of those are still valid today, 3 years after the peak of the pandemic. So we have a little video to talk about living through the pandemic with a brain injury. So let's watch this.
Imagine one day you woke up in a foreign country. Everything looks similar, but slightly different. You're not really sure how you got here. You certainly didn't ask to come. And you wish you could just go home. In just a few short weeks, New York has changed. America has changed.
Go back gradually to the point we can function as a society.
The world has changed. Change is difficult for us all, particularly when it happens suddenly without warning. But for millions of Americans living with traumatic brain injury, this is not the first time their lives have been turned upside down. And adapting once again to a new normal may be especially challenging. Many will require additional support and assistance at this time, but that support may be harder to find. If you know someone with a brain injury, please give them a call to make sure they are okay. And remind them of the important safety advice we must all follow. Wash your hands. Maintain a safe distance. Stay inside if instructed to do so. Together, we'll get through this. And to those on the front line, we say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so that was video is just to help, you know, bring some insight and for individuals to understand like how it is living through the pandemic with a brain injury. As I mentioned earlier, we're 3 years out and that some of these things might not be as crucial or exercise as much, but I feel like still should be valid, like washing your hands when coming inside. You know, make sure you're having a safe distance, because even though the numbers have declined, we still want to make sure that we're practicing these safe exercises or precautions, even if we're even three years out. Yeah. Brain injury is never easy. With COVID-19 pandemic, it can exacerbate some of the cognitive and physical and emotional and behavioral symptoms associated with the traumatic brain injury. So such as feeling trapped inside your home, frightened, maybe having a hard time understanding the scope of the brain injury, or even those precautions and why we have these heightened protocols with the social distancing and washing your hands. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, even now, still trying to practice those protocols or requirements, I feel like wouldn't hurt, even though, again, the numbers have gone down, we are quote unquote going back to normal. So some of these coping skills, the pandemic, with a brain injury, even if you didn't have a brain injury, I feel like you could incorporate some of these coping skills, like using a journal, writing down your thoughts, your emotions, even if it was hard to get access to mental health services. I feel like it's still kind of hard today, as people are now trying to all rush back and get these services, not even mental health, but just even your somatic, your physical health. Sometimes the wait period to access these services are very long. So you call today, you might have to wait a month or 2 months to even actually see a medical professional. So using these coping mechanisms, so using a journal, calendar, creating a daily schedule and routine. Even now, as you're trying to quote unquote return back to normal, I feel like sometimes we got used to just being inside, being by ourselves, and now we have to get back to that old routine. So trying to create that new routine again, breaking things down into manageable steps, encouraging naps and rest periods. When you're, you know, going out and or trying to complete a task, whether if you're trying to work, go to school, or just complete a task, whether you're going to like a medical day or day program, maybe using earphones to screen out distractions and breaking things into those manageable steps, or even having like pictures to show the process. All right, so again, some more coping skills that I didn't mention. You want to make sure you're taking care of your emotional health. Again, maybe writing down those feelings. You know, take the breaks. Take times if you feel like you're feeling a little sick or under the weather, or you're a little concerned that you might have COVID-19. Make sure that you take care of your body, whether that's getting just going outside for 30 minutes, 15 to 30 minutes to take a walk, make sure you get plenty of sleep, eat a well-balanced breakfast, maybe practice some meditation, breathing exercises, stretching. And again, you want to avoid excess alcohol or drug use. And also, again, I feel like this ties into your emotional health and the breathing exercises. Is take time to unwind. I think that should just be part of your daily habit, but I won't go there. And then you want to make sure that you can connect with others in your community. And this is a little bit better now since some of those social restrictions are lifted. But you know, you want to make sure that you're respectful of other people's personal spaces. Try to reconnect with your community and others. So now let's talk about some resources. The video that I meant that was shown, the last video that was shown, you saw that was from the Brain Injury Association of America. They have some resources that you can find just, you know, across the nation. Some other good literature is from Brainline in Ohio Valley State, Ohio Valley Center. Get more closer to home. Call us at the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. We can help you find some community resources and find those resources specifically for brain injury. And then also trying to connect, use 211. That's another way. If you just want to try to find some resources on your own, you can, I think you just do Google 211 and you can find that resource. So some key takeaways from this webinar, I just want you to know that brain injuries are a big deal. Like I said, like the brain, I think it's a very most important organ of the body. You know, it helps with your executive functioning skills. So it helps with your problem solving, your flexible thinking, self-awareness, self-control. So a lot of these things that help you move throughout your environment, your community safely and successfully, it all happens within your brain, especially in the frontal lobe. There, and I want to say there is a correlation or connection between COVID-19 and brain injury. But I'm not saying if you have COVID-19, you have a brain injury. I'm not saying that at all. And if you can go see a medical doctor if you suspect that you might have a brain injury. But I'm not saying you have a brain injury if you had COVID-19. But I also want to say that there are resources for COVID-19, 211, again, help you find those COVID-19 resources. There are resources for brain injury, and there's resources for brain injury and COVID-19 combined. All right, and like our check-in chat, which was born in either March or April of, June of COVID of 2020 to help bring people together during this time. And we still run this kind of check-in chat every Friday from 12 noon to 2 p.m., I believe, every Friday. So if you would like more information about check-in chat, anything else, you can always reach out to us at the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. I believe our contact is on the last slide, but before we get there, I want to say thank you for participating in today's webinar. And yes, if you have any questions or comments or want to learn more about our check-in chat or any other community resources about brain injury, you can visit us on or go to our website, biamd.org, or email us at info@biamd.org or call our toll-free number 1-800-221-6443. And thank you. Have a good one.